this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
And it is over! The Rangers win! The Rangers win and advance to the Final Four! Wow! What a comeback!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How we doing on this Friday morning of Memorial Day weekend? And apparently, I mean, first off, I want to say Sam Rosen there in the pro in the promo before the open there had to miss game one for some, I guess, apparent dizziness or something. He's dealing with a little bit of a health issue. Sam Rosen is the absolute best. I wish him well. Me and Marco, you know, just reminded me when hearing his voice. So hopefully he's well. Hopefully he's back to calling Ranger games on the radio as soon as possible because there's nothing. And hopefully he gets to say power play goal pretty damn quickly. And we'll get to the Rangers in a second, as well as the baseball, as it is Memorial Day. And that's when you really feel comfortable, right? That's the cliche. You pop your head up and now you're allowed to look at the standings. But apparently we had another earthquake. Like, I didn't feel anything. I mean, we're driving opening day. That opening day earthquake. I'm about to get on the George Washington Bridge on my way to Yankee Stadium for opening day when the earthquake happens. Now, you know, hopefully everyone's safe driving to Belmar, New Jersey for the event. But what are the odds that the Fan would be on remote for two earthquakes? But apparently, I was seeing. I'm up obviously, so I'm seeing all this stuff on Twitter, and there are reports of a very low-level earthquake that just hit New York or New Jersey. I just had a 2.9 magnitude earthquake from Gladstone, New Jersey, United States. We didn't feel anything. I don't know if you felt anything, if you're listening anywhere, but apparently, there was another earthquake, 2.9 on the Richter scale. We didn't feel anything. Me and Jack on the other side didn't notice it, but we're seeing reports. I didn't feel anything. But hopefully everybody's okay. Hopefully this isn't anything of significance. But apparently another earthquake on another day where the Fan is on remote for a great event. One for Yankee opening day and two for the summer kickoff party. The best party of the year. And I'm sorry, I'm going to try and get there. I don't know if you're going to get the pleasure of hearing me sing this year. I'm bummed about it. I have something to do with my son early in the day, and it's going to be tough for me to get out there. But I'm going to try. But please, if you're down in the area, if you have a free day today, if you're looking to start your weekend off right, head down to Belmar, go check out the party. Al and Jerry are going to be there in an hour to kick it off with the warm-up show at 5. Go to the morning show, midday show, afternoon show. Everyone's going to be there all day long. It's an awesome place. It's an awesome venue. It's a great party. We had so much fun with it the last couple of years. And it should be a blast. Go check it out. So, yes, Memorial Day weekend. And besides the earthquakes and the parties, we do have a baseball season. We got game two of the Eastern Conference Finals tonight. And everybody wants to play Rempe. Messier wants to play Rempe. Larry Brooks of the Daily News wants to play Rempe. And listen, I'm not opposed to playing Rempe because, listen, they could use a spark. And he will give a little energy to the crowd. I think he's proved that. The crowd loves him. I just don't know if he changes the dynamic of the series. I don't think, like, from Mark Messier to after one period of watching this Ranger team talk about Rempe is hard for me to fathom. And now the idea that it's been such a rough, you know, they made a statement in game one the way they played and the physical nature which Florida brings. Like, you need to have Rempe out there. Like, suddenly that's going to change the way Florida plays or, you know, give anything more than just a boost to the Rangers because he doesn't play a lot of minutes. And yeah, he's a big figure, and yeah, maybe he can get in front of the net and create some problems, and that's desperately what they need to do. I'll give you that. you know, they need to create a little bit more pressure. They need to throw some more pucks at the net. They need to create a little bit of a disturbance in front of the net and get some bodies in front of the net. And that's typically where Chris Kreider comes in. If you want to tell me Matt Rempe can help in that endeavor, I'm open to it. But for a player who just doesn't have the trust of the coach, who's not going to play a ton of minutes, and who I don't think will physically impose the Florida Panthers out of playing the style of hockey they want to play against the Rangers that they think gives them the best chance to win the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't think that's the answer. What I do think is the answer is the players who are out there, the Panarins, the Zibanejads, the Kreiders, the Trocheks, those guys need to bring a different level of energy. Those guys need to be the ones who add and step up to their physicality and meet the Panthers head on and change the dynamic, because tonight is as much of a must win as you can have without facing elimination. You cannot go down 0-2 and head to Florida and expect to get back into the series. That is a very difficult ask against a very good Panther team. You cannot lose this game. They have to figure out a way how to win it. And if they want to play Rempe, fine, but I don't see him as some sort of, you know, superhero that's going to come and change the way Florida plays, or, you know, bring some sort of extra element of, like, if they need Matt Rempe to come in and give them a spark, then shame on the Rangers. And I know the last two games at Madison Square Garden have fell flat. The performances have fell flat. And when they fell behind early, now the last time they played and lost was game five of the Hurricane season and series, excuse me. And they were lucky enough to get the lead. So the crowd was kind of in it. Even though they were flat, even though you were nervous, even though you didn't like the way they were playing, and then the third period just, you know, collapsed on itself, the crowd was there, the emotion was there, and that felt lacking in game one of this series because they did not get the early lead, quite the opposite. They gave up the first goal of the game. They gave up a goal in the first period and played, you know, most of this game down a goal without getting much, you know, offensively, other than a couple of breakaways and a flurry here or there, and two power plays that didn't really gain too much traction. They're going to have to figure out a way to spark themselves. And if you want to say Rempe can help, fine. I don't think he's something that has to happen. I don't think that's the key to the series. I don't think he's exactly what they're lacking. I don't think he makes that big a difference. But if it can help, I'm open to it. And certainly if you're going to play him, game two at Madison Square Garden is the place to play him. So there's a very good chance you could see Rempe in the lineup and you can get your wish. We'll see how many minutes he plays. We'll see how much he impacts the game. We'll see if the fists, the cuffs fly. We'll see how tough he is on the boards. We'll see whether or not he gets in front of the net and creates some chances. We'll see if he can make an impact. Some players seem to think so. We know Sean Avery seems to think so. Mark Messier seems to think so. So let's see. But they got to do something because the energy level has to be better, and namely Igor Shesterkin has to be better. He wasn't awful in this game, but he lets up a light goal, an easy goal, a soft goal, and then the second goal, I mean, he just mishandles the puck. It leads to one of the flukiest plays you've ever seen to really put a nail in the coffin of a playoff game. And things just got to change because they cannot afford to lose tonight. And then, of course, you get to the baseball season. And like I said, typically Memorial Day weekend is the first weekend you get to pop up and you go, oh, what's my team like? Everyone, oh, it's too early. You got to wait till at least Memorial Day, at least Memorial Day. Well, we're here. And I'll tell you what, starting with the New York Yankees, I'll tell you exactly where they are. They're in first place as the best team in the American League. Three games up on the Baltimore Orioles, who everyone told me was going to be the force in the American League East. Well, they've got some work to do if they want to catch this New York Yankee team. Because right now, not only are we talking about Aaron Judge completely out of his slump, not only are we talking about Aaron Judge already having a 1 OPS after a miserable month and a half, not only are we talking about Aaron Judge, who has 11 singles, 11 doubles, and 11 home runs in his last 25 games, who already leads the American League in extra base hits. And not only are we talking about Juan Soto and how great he is, and whether or not he's going to sign an extension or come back, or how important he is to the team, and what a great hitter he is, and how great this lineup has been, and Stanton staying healthy and hitting 450-foot bombs to Monument Park, dead center. Not only are we talking about this offense, but we are talking about a rotation that is the best in baseball and an overall staff that has the lowest ERA in all of baseball. And Luis Gil, who is an absolute stud and ace, that's what he is right now. And he is the perfect guy to pair with Cole in a playoff series. And right now that, and I know I'm looking ahead. I know it's only Memorial Day and I just said playoff series, but that's what we're talking about because that's how good this team is. And Luis Gil in this performance, his fastball and changeup combo is devastating. He's growing confidence each and every start as he beats the Seattle Mariner team that everybody told me was elite. After the first two games against the Yankees can't beat him because they're too good. Well, against that team, he gives up one hit and six and a third. Coming off a 14-strikeout performance the game before. And every time he's out there, he gains more confidence. Every time he's out there, he's a little bit more comfortable on the mound. And this kid is starting to become something special, something you can't miss, something the fan base is really going to get behind. Because in a rotation full of guys performing, Rodon pitching well, Nestor Cortez, the worst of the bunch with a 3.29 ERA and a 1 ERA at home in Yankee Stadium. I mean, I talk about this a lot. If you listen to me, I talk about a lot the strengths and weaknesses of teams and how for the Mets, for example, their strength has to be their lineup and their weakness was supposed to be their rotation, and yet they're ass backwards. And whenever your strength is your weakness, you might be able to overcome it by doing a bunch of different stuff, but you'll never be as good as you can be because your strength has got to be your strength. And for the Mets, their offense is supposed to be their strength, and it's been awful. And for the Yankees, their strength is their offense, and it's been their strength. And their weakness was supposed to be this rotation. And right now, the weakness is far from that. So when you have your strength being your strength and your weakness being your strength, well, you got a lot of strengths. And not a lot of weaknesses. And that's where the Yankees find themselves. And this rotation's been great, and Luis Gil's been unbelievable. And the biggest problem the Yankees have as we look at this Memorial Day weekend is who the hell's coming out of this rotation when Cole comes back. That's the biggest problem the Yankees have. How do they make space for Jason Dominguez? Now, sometimes, unfortunately, a lot of these things take care of themselves. And we all know we expect Stanton on some level to probably deal with some injuries. And DJ LeMahieu is coming back and is going to rejoin them in Anaheim and probably get activated there. And we'll see how they implement him back into the lineup. But, I mean, right now this team and this pitching staff in particular, who weren't any good, and especially after the Cole injury, oh, you have to go out and get Blake Snell. Oh, you have to go out and get Montgomery. You're more than just a pitcher light. I mean, I didn't like the rotation with Cole in it. Now Cole's out of it. How in the world can you expect to compete? And not only are they competing, they are thriving. And they are dominating the American League. And this pitching staff, especially the last two go-rounds, has been unstoppable. You can't score runs. And they did not go out and sign Snell. And they did not go out and get Montgomery. Hell, they even missed on Yamamoto. And you are getting the same production from Gil you are getting out of Yamamoto for no money. Thank you, Brian Cashman. Thank you. So as we are about a quarter of the way through the season, the Yankees have played 50-plus games. Right now, they are as good as anyone in baseball, short of the Philadelphia Phillies, who never lose. The offense has completely awoken. Judge is a beast. Judge and Soto going back, you know, going hot at the same time. You saw both of them homer in the night before. Soto hits two. Judge hits one. Judge hits another one. Judge hasn't gone more than a game without a home run since the beginnings of May. He's gone like 20 straight days with hitting a home run at least every other day. Like, he's just been an absolute beast. You know how good Soto's been? Stanton hits another home run. He's got 14 on the season. He's on pace for 35, 40 home runs. I mean, right now, this team, Volpe's on a 16-game hitting streak. Verdugo's been an absolute game-changer when they moved him to cleanup. You got Trevino and Wells hitting well in the catcher position at the bottom of the lineup, and you're adding DJ LeMahieu back into it in the next few days. Right now, the Yankees are good. They're in a good position as they hit the road. And for the Mets, they are about to play the most important stretch of baseball for their season. They are coming home off of getting swept by the Cleveland Indians, or should I say Guardians, and playing an ugly brand of baseball. Not just losing, but Don't hit when you pitch. Don't pitch when you hit. Playing terrible defense. Running the bases like a bunch of, you know, rookies. You got J.D. Martinez and Marte, two veterans, you know, running themselves into a double play. You got Nimmo losing balls in the outfield. I mean, it's you're blowing leads. Jimenez, who sticks it to you after, you know, performing the way he's performed for Cleveland after the Lindor trade, well, Lindor's hitting 199, hits a three-run home run. You blow it late in the game. The bullpen that's been the stalwart of this team has a closer right now who doesn't have any confidence and has lost his job. And a guy in Reed Garrett, who has been one of the better stories in baseball, coming down to earth a little bit. You got two relievers in back-to-back games breaking things in the dugout as Ottavino didn't have a great game, and you lost every which way to Cleveland. You're heading home playing some of the worst baseball you've played all year, and you're looking at the longest homestand of the season, a 10-game homestand against the Giants, who, ironically enough, is where this bad play started. They got on a roll after winning that final game against Detroit in the sixth game of the year, and won a series against Cincinnati, won a series against Atlanta, was playing very well, won a series against the Dodgers, and then lost the series against San Francisco, and they haven't played good baseball since. And they start with San Francisco tonight, then welcome in the Dodgers, and then welcome in the struggling but defending National League champ Arizona Diamondbacks for 10 games, a four-game set against Arizona. These 10 games can absolutely define their season, because they are now 7 games under 500. They're not hitting. The bullpen's coming back down to earth. The rotation, while still pitching fairly well, you know, has its troubles with walks and whatever else. But ultimately, this offense stinks. Lindor stinks. McNeil stinks. Alonso hasn't had the year, and they're struggling offensively. And they are 7 games under 500. And if they can't win, if you knock off 10 straight days of home games, if you knock off 10 games off the calendar, 10 games off your home calendar, and you can't at least put a dent or at least stay where you are, if you can't go 5-5 in a homestand, if you leave this series worse off than you entered it, if you come into this homestand 7 games under 500 and leave it 10 games under 500, 11 games under 500, to enter June, where last year your season was lost in a atrocious June swoon, that's difficult to come back from. And then you are a month away from a trade deadline that could see everybody shipped away. And that will be the talk of this team. We won't talk anymore about how they can get back into it. We won't talk anymore about how they can turn their season around. What will we talk about? Can you move Jeff McNeil? What will we talk about? What can they get? What kind of package can you get for Pete Alonso? That's where we are with the Mets. We are a 10-game homestand away from no longer caring about how well they play, no longer caring about what they can do to turn it around. Instead, we will be focused on Stern's first trade deadline and how the beginning of the Stern era will begin, and how he will shape this team for the future by trading away the core of this Met team and the ancillary pieces they brought here, like the pitching staff that they brought in, the Severinos of the world, the Manias of the world. These will all get traded. Anything not tied down. Nimmo will be here. Lindor will be here. Everybody else is up for grabs. And this homestand will either decide that we care about winning and turning it around, or we care about what we can get and how do we shape this team moving forward. Because I think the fan base believes, and we'll see if it's true, that there's going to be a ton of money spent next year. Because Verlander's coming off the books, Scherzer's coming off the books. So in many ways, a lot of the Met fans are already on to next year. And if this next week goes the way it can, well, now you're on that way. Hey, we trade away this, we trade away that. We get a bunch of assets. Plus, now we have a ton of money. We're going to go steal Soto from the Yankees. We're going to go get Buehler. We're going to get Burns. We're going to go build this rotation. We're going to help this lineup get younger and better, plus all the prospects. And away we go with the mid-market mind and ability of David Stearns, along with the major market money of Steve Cohen. And that's the pot of gold at the end of this ugly rainbow. And it all begins at the end of this homestand if it ends terribly. 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls real quick. Kevin and Copeg, what's up?
What's up, C-Mac? I heard a league exec said if the Mets get to 500, watch out.
I'm sorry, one more time. If what?
If the Mets get to 500, watch out.
Yeah, if the Mets get to 500, watch out. That's what you heard from what, a league executive?
I was going to say,
I wouldn't watch out on what league executive is going to try and steal away their first baseman. That's what I'd be more concerned with.
I was watching Edwin Diaz, Timmy Trumpet on YouTube, DeGrom warming up, the Simple Man.
Yep.
It's bad times right now.
No, this is about as ugly as it gets. It really is. And especially what sucks about it is there's two different feelings, right? There's the one where you had last year, where the hopes were high and you had this miserable season. And when the hopes are high and you have a miserable season, the feeling of turning it around will never leave you. But when you go into the season with the idea of it's going to take a lot for us to even compete. I know they told us they're going to try to compete. They really didn't do anything to this rotation. We're taking a shot on a bunch of guys. I don't trust McNeil. I don't know what this team's going to be like. I'm not sure how much they're trying to actually win. And then all of that comes to fruition. Now the feeling is just, well, I don't care. It's indifference. Last year is painful. This year's indifference.
I just can't wait till they trade Jeff McNeil and he's batting 400. You can't get this guy out. I mean, he's not.
Well, I mean, you're bringing a lot of sarcasm that honestly is just missing the mark. I hate to tell you this. Like, you're trying to be sarcastic, and I'm with you, but like it's just not quite working. You're not quite hitting it because Jeff McNeil has been hot the last couple of days. And yes, without question, the best thing that could happen for the Mets as far as Jeff McNeil is for him to get hot in the next month, and then you can trade him because you know what? His contract isn't terrible. But I'm done with him. I no longer have belief in him. And it's funny because I got on him for not trying to drive the baseball. And as soon as I said that, he's had back-to-back games with a home run. But I just don't trust him anymore. And I think if you can get him hot and move him, and I think that's the point of this team right now. Like, because I don't want to trade a bad, like, even Alonso, right? And I know the thought is you have to move him. If you're not going to keep him, you have to move him. And I don't know if I agree. I hate trading devalued assets. And if Alonso's going to come off last year, which wasn't a bad year, certainly he hit a bunch of home runs, but he was injured for a bit, probably came back too early and it hampered him. He had a low batting average, not his best year. And now he's having a down year to start this year. If I trade him off that, what am I going to get for a guy that is going to have Scott Boras as an agent and ask for a ton of money? I don't know what I'm going to get for him. So unless I get a package I really like, I don't want to trade him just because I feel like I have to. I can easily just go to free agency with him, give him the qualifying offer, and then at least I get picks. I get a pick back that a high valued pick that I know I'll take the guy I want, as opposed to taking other people's slop that I might not want to take. And there's always the chance that off that miserable season and the prospects that are offered to him outside the organization aren't that good, and he's willing to take a lesser contract than something I'm comfortable paying him. So I'm not trading him for nothing. I'm not taking a bad deal just because I'm forced into a deal. So you want him to get hot where you have the option to trade him, because a cold Alonso, I'm not moving. A hot Alonso that looks like he can impact the roster and someone's willing to pay me their best prospect for it, well, now I'll make a deal. But an ice cold Alonso who looks like he's having a down year and you're concerned about the impact, plus he's still got Boras, you're going to want to pay him, he's going to want to get paid a lot of money in the offseason. Like, I don't know what I get for that. But right, I mean, that's where we are. Like, I hate to be this guy. Actually, I don't hate to be this guy. It's better than being the other guy. But here's the guy I'll be. We're at the first tentpole mark of the season, of this baseball season, Memorial Day weekend, and the Yankees are the best team in the American League. Their rotation that was supposed to be a major problem for them, especially without Cole, is now the problem is what do they do when Cole comes back, because it's been so dynamic. The offense has been the best in the American League, has scored more runs than anybody else in the American League. Judge is absolutely killing it. Soto's been unbelievable. Everything they've done is just right. The bullpen and Clay Holmes have been great. Overall, they have the best ERA for a staff of any team in the American League. They are, without question, three games up in first place and the best team in the American League. And the Mets are a couple of days away from no longer having conversations about how this season will go, other than what will they do at the deadline. Not ideal for some.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Metal! And the Rangers have one more hell to climb, baby! But it's Mark Vancouver! The Rangers are headed to the final!
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
Drums, please!
All right, 4:34, McMonagle here with you in the summertime. That's right, the official kickoff to the summer is moments away. But you still got me for a little bit with taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. If that sounds, you know, unique to you, if that sounds foreign to you, try saying it over and over when you've been saying the other number for 3-4 years now. 888-808-1019. That's the new number to call. Not just for me, but everyone. So if you want to call later today, I'm not sure how many calls they'll take, but if you do, that's the number. If you want to call this weekend, if you want to call on Monday to react to the Rangers and the baseball, 888-808-1019. Let's get to the calls right now. I've talked long enough. Peter in Manhattan. What's up, Peter?
Hey, how you doing, buddy? How's everything?
Everything's great. Everything's just great. How are you?
You know, you're my favorite host. You know that.
Oh,
right?
I do now. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I heard you from the very beginning, and the fact that you love the Beatles adds to my.
Well, there you go.
But anyway, just quickly, some summer songs: "Deal with a Kiss" by Donovan. You know, now it's time to say goodbye for the summer. And one song I haven't heard for a while: "Deals Across Summer Breeze." But you know, just a touch on the Rangers and Yankees. The Rangers, I think, you know, looking at the series, I think two goals wins a game. I mean, you know, you can score two goals. I think these are going to be 2-1 games, 1-0 games. I think very low scoring games. And I agree with you. I mean, the Rangers just have to come in and score a few goals. So that's that. As far as the Yankees go, I mean, they look great. But Chris, you know as well as me, it's October baseball. I mean, you know, you can have the best team. Once October comes, you know, a whole different ball game.
Well,
but anyway, I'll let you run. I hope your son enjoys the
prom.
What is it? The pre-K prom. Wow,
yes.
He's starting to date already. So
right, well, I mean, yeah, I don't know. There's I know I'll be his date. I'll be his date. He didn't have to ask anybody, but yeah, they call it the prom. Of course, it's the middle of the day. I think when my other son had it was later in the afternoon. I think it was like 5-6, you know, 5:30, 6 o'clock in the evening. Now, this is like smack dab in the middle of the day. But yes, you know, the things you do for your kids. Plus, it's his birthday. He's been very excited. We got a bow tie for him and everything. It'll be fun. They'll go there. They'll dance. They'll throw, you know, run around. Graduation's right around the corner. Pre-K graduation already. He'll be going to kindergarten, taking the bus every day with his older brother. Time flies. It's unbelievable. Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
The fact that you're talking about Daniel Jones in May is great because we know he's going to be the answer. I already know it. The fact that you're weaseling back. Oh, my goodness.
Who's weaseling back?
That's your strategy, weaseling back. So when you're wrong, yeah, you're weaseling back, Chris. I'm not laughing. Yes, you did. You're weaseling back.
I didn't hear it already. I didn't say anything. Yes, I said as long as he's the quarterback of the team, they have no future. How is that weaseling?
But the other comment, you're like, the fact that he's standing up and saying something is good. The last time he did that, you quoted
I said
could be a good thing. Yeah, oh, here we go. I know. You're already starting to weasel out of it.
I said hopefully it's a good thing because the last time he had this attitude, he played his best season. Listen, You could call it whatever you want, Daniel. Whatever you want, Brett.
See, you're flustered, right?
You don't I'm not flustered because I almost called you Daniel. I almost called you Daniel because we're talking about Daniel Jones. Yeah, I'm flustered. Daniel Jones is not any good. I don't have any faith in him. I hope I'm wrong. That's my stance. It's always been my stance. I'm not flip-flopping, weaseling, whatever other stupid term you want to use. I am on board.
You're wrong. You hope
of course
you're right,
I hope I'm wrong.
You're gonna look
I'm
terrible.
A Giant
you're
fan.
You're going to look terrible like everybody else.
Buddy. Buddy, let me tell you something right now. Honestly, Brett, I wanted the Giants to trade for Russell Wilson. I desperately wanted to trade those two picks for Russell Wilson. I can't look more dumb than that.
My point being that I'm
not afraid to look dumb. I can't look dumber than that.
No, but
I hope
you've been on this Daniel Jones one for like 3 years.
Daniel Jones has sucked forever. You make it sound like if Daniel Jones is good next year, I'm wrong. He was good 2 years ago in your eyes, and he still came back and sucked. The conversation
you said
is ongoing.
You're going to get a quarterback. You're already wrong now. You basically said he won't even start the season. You're going to be wrong about that.
I never said he wouldn't start the season. I said from jump, even if they drafted
it.
You see, now I know you don't even know what you're talking about because I never once said he wasn't going to start the year. No, I never did. Ever. Ever.
Everybody's been questioning that. Like, he won't even start the season.
Unless
for health. You thought they were going to trade for a quarterback.
I thought they were trying to draft
the shows.
I said there's the likelihood they take a wide receiver is pretty high, but I think they want a quarterback. If the right one fell to them and they tried like hell to trade up and draft May, and they couldn't get it done.
I'm not like this, but with my friend, I'm going to rub it in your face because I've been defending Daniel Jones for too long, and it's almost like I've become the laughing stock. But and don't forget, Chris.
Well, you are the laughing stock on this conversation.
But he's not a laughing stock.
No, I'm saying you want to say that we talked about, you called up after I had a conversation with about Brunson and signing Brunson to a contract.
Yeah, now you're going
and
to
you
a
called
conversation.
Up. No, because
okay,
you brought
here
up.
We go. Yeah,
because,
that's what you do.
No, that's what I do. That's what you do. Because you.
No, I don't. I'm talking about Daniel Jones.
As much as you love
call.
The
now
Knicks, as much as you love the Knicks and you told me they were going to win a championship and you take, and I haven't thrown that in your face, nor do you take any, you know, blame for that, saying what, you know, whatever you said, they were going to win a championship. Then Brunson, the contract conversation comes up, and you're killing the idea of possibly giving a conversation, or that it's not a good move for him to get this contract, or that it's still being selfish from him. You're knocking Brunson, and you defend Daniel Jones at anything possible. Daniel Jones has done nothing for you, pal. I don't know why you love him.
You like facts. When Daboll came in, right? Everybody references the 5 years. The 5 years were garbage.
They were garbage.
What happened immediately when Daboll came in?
He stopped throwing interceptions and running the football, and they won enough games to sneak in.
He went from turning the ball over 20-something times to 5 times.
Because
nobody
he never took any chances
though.
Or moved the ball down the field. There was the game plan. They barely won, and then they got in the playoffs and beat an average team in Minnesota, and when they stepped up their game against Philadelphia, they got run out of the building like they weren't
was
even
that
there.
Daniel Jones against Philly? You
Daniel
watched
Jones,
game,
he was terrible
Giants
in the game.
Issue?
He was terrible
How
in the game.
How did the Giants look in that game, though, Chris?
The whole
be
team
honest,
looked bad.
Right?
I agree, but he looked bad.
Right, okay.
And then you talk about the wide receivers they have. How come DeVito can win games? How come when they bring in backup quarterbacks, they throw the ball down the field better? My God. The backups come in and play better than Daniel Jones. Get the ball down the field to their wide receivers better. Tyrod Taylor comes in and gets the ball down the field. The reason why Daniel Jones didn't throw any picks is because he never took any freaking chances. And that's why he didn't score any points either. That's why they went on a two-year calendar run of never scoring 30. Like, it's just the same thing with you. Fine. Listen, it's one thing to say I'll be wrong. And if I'm wrong, you think I don't want to be wrong? I do. I want the Giants to win. I'm a Giants fan. I believe the best way for the Giants to win is get rid of Daniel Jones and get a new quarterback. That's what I believe. I think that's the best way for the Giants to have sustained winning. I want that because I think it's what's best for the team. if he becomes an MVP and wins 13 games and takes them to the NFC Championship game, you think I'll be pissed that I'm wrong? You're nuts. I'll be thrilled that I'm wrong. I'll be freaking shocked to the high heavens, but I'll be thrilled. You think I care that you'll call in and rub it in my face? Again, I wanted them to trade for Russell Wilson. I've been wrong before. I don't care if you call me and throw it in my face, but don't tell me I'm weaseling out of it. I don't think Daniel Jones is good. Do I think that maybe this mindset is what's best for him? Possibly, sure. What? That doesn't mean I think it's going to work or that I think he's great. I think he's average. I think there's a chance he could win 7-8 games. I've never said otherwise. I don't think he's a bum. I've said this too. I don't think Daniel Jones is a bum. I don't think he's bereft of all talent and ability. I just don't think he's good enough to take you where you want to go. And ultimately, he gets hurt too much. And other quarterbacks have come in and made the offense look better last year. And sure, when they handed the ball off 40 times a game to Saquon Barkley and told him, look for your first option, and then if it's not there, tuck it and run, and he throws 15 touchdown passes and never scores 30 and never gets the ball down the field and never throws it to a wide receiver, and there are stretches of his career where he goes 15 games without throwing a touchdown pass to a wide receiver, like, okay, so he stopped turning the ball over. Great, first step. Now go out there and score points. And he did that for two games, and one of them happened to be a playoff game. And bravo, I'll never take that away from him. And then we saw 40-0 to the Cowboys. Then we saw taking terrible sacks and throwing pick sixes against Seattle. And then we saw another season end with surgery and injury. That's what we've seen. It's not very complicated. It's not very complicated at all. Nor am I weaseling out of my opinion. Daniel Jones won't win consistently with the Giants, and the Giants are better off with a young quarterback. And they should have drafted a quarterback. I would have rather have seen that. They didn't believe in one of the quarterbacks who were available. They couldn't trade up for Drake May, who they wanted, and now they're stuck with Daniel Jones. That is my opinion. And I pray that I am wrong.
Happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
The most successful team in the history of professional sports. Starting the new millennium, the New York Yankees are once again world champions.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
For summer, 451. All right, I had to let it play at least once. 452, let's get right to the calls. This song reminds me of Dazed and Confused, great movie. Let's get to the calls here. Who we got? Who we got? Dwight in Asbury Park. What's up, Dwight?
Oh, yeah. You were talking about Daniel Jones.
I certainly was.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, you. I remember you saying that you wanted to, you would trade your entire, you would trade everybody and your mother for a shot at Russell Wilson.
That is correct. I don't know about everybody and my mother, but yes, I was willing to trade. At least they had the two top draft picks that year. One went to Evan Neal, and one went for Kayvon Thibodeau. I was willing to trade at least one of those, and then maybe another first round pick later for Russell Wilson. Correct. I did want that.
Now that they got the backup plan, Malik Nabers, he's not going to have any choice. chances to have any excuses. I'm like, this guy is one of the best. People were saying that he might be
the best receiver in the draft.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. We'll find out how good he is. And yes, no, there are no more excuses for Daniel Jones. I can't take it anymore. I can't hear another, well, listen, oh, they didn't have this. They had just one more year. I mean, listen, if you know, you got to get him an offensive line. You got to get him another wide receiver. You know, I'm tired. Can't do this every year. It's the same thing. Mick and T-Neck, what's up, Mick?
Hey, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Mick.
How are you today?
Good. I'm doing all right. How are you?
Yeah, you've had a long show. I heard you at midnight.
Yep.
Then I woke up at 4, and I heard you again.
And I'm right. Isn't that comforting?
Yes, and you're consistent all night.
Oh,
you know?
Okay. Well, thank
you. You've been consistent.
I've been consistent
with Daniel Jones.
Thank you.
And your thoughts about him all along. But, you know, I wanted to change track and ask you about Giancarlo Stanton.
Sure.
Because I know you are a supporter of him.
I certainly am.
Coincidentally, you know, when he broke in, he called himself Mike Stanton.
That is correct,
and,
yes.
I went to high school with a guy named Mike Stanton.
Isn't that a small world?
Yes,
and then there
is.
Was obviously a reliever for the Dynasty Yankees named Mike Stanton.
That's correct,
yes.
Also.
And he pitched for the Mets as well.
Yes, he did. Both New York teams. That's fantastic. Listen, about Giancarlo Stanton.
Yes.
And a quick Beatle question, if I may.
Okay, quickly.
In all my years watching baseball and hitters, I've never seen anyone hit the ball a stroke the way Giancarlo Stanton does. The man has got to be one of the strongest baseball players in the league because he doesn't use his lower body. It's all upper body from his waist, his stomach, his shoulder. I mean, it's all from the upper body, and yet he can hit the ball 400 feet. It's incredible.
Yeah, he's very strong. I think he uses his legs more than you give him credit for, but you're right. He's got a lot of torque from the top, and he's got the fastest. He's got the best bat speed in the league. He hits the ball as hard as anyone I know. Right now, the last couple of days, O'Neal Cruz has hit the ball about 120 miles an hour a couple times, but Stanton hits it about as hard as anybody. As long as he stays healthy, he's going to hit you 35 home runs. He's going to have some ugly swings. He's going to have some stretches where it's not so good, but he is going to be – he's not going to be the MVP player they traded for, but he is going to hit you 35 home runs. He's going to drive in you 85 runs. And he's going to be a force and an imposing threat in the lineup. And if he gets hot, he can hit him in bunches. And that's what you hope heading into the playoffs. Beatle question. Get real quick, Mick.
Okay. The Beatles did a cover. By the way, you were correct. I was wrong. Idlewild Airport was named JFK on December 24th.
Yes.
The Beatle question.
Yes.
They did a cover of a Burt Bacharach Hal David song. Do you know what it is?
You know my name, look up the number? I'm trying to think.
No.
Well, I don't
know. Baby, it's you. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
I love Mick. You got to call me before rapid fire because I can't let you do sha-la-la-la-la with guys hanging on hold. I feel bad. But I love you, Mick, because Mickey loves you. Beverly in East Islip. What's up, Beverly?
Hi. I have a song.
You do your own personal song? Oh, summer song. Okay.
I have a summer song.
Your favorite summer song?
It's by America. You Can Do Magic.
You Can Do Magic by America. You know, I don't know that one. America,
that's
Sister, Golden Hair Surprise, right? Is that America, right? Or no?
It's by America.
No, I know, but I'm saying is America the hit from America was Sister, Golden Hair Surprise. Was it not? Is that the band I'm thinking of or no?
That, I think they might have that one, too.
Okay. America. Yep. Okay. Yeah, because I was trying to think of the kind of band and the kind of song. I don't know that one. I'll have to check it out.
That's a good one.
That's a good one. Any other ones? That's it?
By America.
No, just summer songs, Beverly. Anything you want to tell me?
Sweet Home Alabama.
Sweet Home Alabama. That's a good summer song. No doubt. Summer songs are different and unique to everybody. There are songs that were hits when you were a kid during the summer, songs you associate with summer. Doesn't have to have summer in the title. I like Summer Wind means I don't even think of the summer when I think of Summer Wind. I don't know why with Frank Sinatra. There are songs that have the summer in the title and it mean nothing to do with me with summer. Joe in Fort Washington or Port Washington, one or the other. What's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, big man? How are you doing?
Good, man. How are you? Port Washington.
I'm all right. I'm all right. I'm just getting home from our kickoff the summer party. And since you're not going to be at the fans kickoff the summer party, I was hoping to get a little song request from you.
Yeah, sure. What do you got?
Maybe a little Beatles, Day in the Life, or a little Suspicious Minds by Elvis. Or Dealer's Choice, whatever you'd like.
All right. Just sing now for the crowd a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
All right. What was I doing the other day? Ooh, I bet you're wondering how I knew about your plans to make me blue with some other guy you knew before. But unfortunately, it's 4:59 and I have to go. Everybody, have a great day. Enjoy the party. Go down the Belmar, check out DJs, kick off the summer with the fan. The crowd's going to be there. The entire lineup's going to be there. Evan's going to shave his beard. Sure, the morning show will do something fun. The warm-up show is up next. Give them a crowd. Go give them somebody to, you know, perform in front of. Otherwise, it's just them in an empty lot, and that's not fun. But I'm sure you're already there. I know a couple already who called me were. So have a great day. Have a happy Memorial Day. I'll check you out midnight, Tuesday morning. Everybody be well. Have a great weekend. I'll catch you later.